Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Detroit Football Network podcast midweek edition. I'm Justin Rogers, joined by Will Birchfield. And Will, we might as well just start right off the bat with the news of the day, news of the week. J-Mo, in the headlines again, kind of a layered, nuanced, complicated story. Timing's not great with him being suspended already for performance-enhancing substances, but was detained briefly during a traffic stop early October. Two weapons in the car. One was his, one was his brother's. His brother has a CPL. J-Mo didn't. Looked like it was going to be leading to an arrest. Then it wasn't leading to an arrest. And so, you know, look, it's another situation where he's in the news. Probably more of a police story, a police procedural story. But you know, we've had a chance to talk to Dan Campbell. We've had a chance, I think, overnight to kind of digest it and learn a little bit more about laws and procedures. You know, any profound opinions to add to the topic, Will?
No, nothing that I'm sure hasn't been uttered already. I'll say that two things can be true. One, J-Mo has certainly been the victim of some silly rules, one of which was so silly that the NFL literally rewrote it when it came to his gambling suspension. And we don't know what the substance was that he took, but again, we can infer that it was a fairly minor infraction and probably a technicality more than a deliberate violation. Also true, though, is that he's the only player that I know of who has been ensnared by both of those rules over the past year. And now he's been tripped up a third time. And they are innocent mistakes. They're the product of not being fully aware of the rules by which you're governed. But he only has himself to blame for that. And what it feels like to me is when a player is always patting his chest after a mistake, as if to say,
my bad,
you know, whether it's a missed block or a blown assignment. And usually, almost always, the reaction from your teammates is, hey, man, all good. We got you. But if you keep tapping your chest because of mistakes, honest or intentional, I just wonder if that reaction veers more toward, like, come on, man, come on. Like, you got to make that block. You got to make that read. You got to stay out of headlines and on the field. And yes, while this is probably a story more about police procedure than J-Mo's alleged infraction or not, he did put himself in this position by carrying a weapon without the proper license to do so. And the other thing about this story, and I don't want to come down on him too severely for it, but when you respond to officers after you have potentially committed a felony or a crime by saying, "Hey, bro, I play for the Lions, and you keep uttering it, the problem is that the implication you're making is that I shouldn't be held accountable for my mistakes because I am a professional athlete. And I think we're all prone to playing that card, which in this case, like, is a literal get out of jail free card for J-Mo. And the optics of it in his position are really troubling if you consider what he thinks it means to play for the Lions. And again, everyone wants to mention the officer they once knew to avoid a speeding ticket. I'm not saying that he's the only one who's done this, but the optics here aren't great. And his teammates do love him. They continue to love him. He plays his ass off. That's central to the Lions culture under Campbell and Holmes. But also central to it is being a selfless player, and he is, but he's also begun to make some selfish mistakes intentionally or not. I don't think this derails his breakout season. I don't think it changes his standing all that much in the Lions locker room, but as these mistakes accumulate, you do wonder if his teammates receive them with a little bit more annoyance or frustration than they have in the past. That's I guess all I'll say on it.
Yeah, it probably certainly depends on the guy, right? You know, veterans that have been around that are trying to get the job done, that maybe have been through their youthful transgressions, you know, they probably roll their eyes a little bit more at it. You know, I watched the video, I read the story, I read the, you know, all the quotes and all that, like everybody else. You know, I'd say the first thing that really stood out from that video was it felt like that's kind of how a traffic stop should go. Like, mm-hmm. you hope, you know, everybody played their part accordingly. I thought the officer was calm. I thought they answered his questions. And look, I think most of the boxes here were checked. Did they have weapons? Yes. Were they registered? Yes. Did his brother have a CPL? Yes. Like, those are all positives to take away, that they were, you know. And then, you know, the slip up here was not having the second weapon. Nothing wrong with owning the weapon, just not stored properly for transport. And so, you know, my initial reaction, I'm not a weapons owner. I have nothing against it. Just I don't know the laws not being a weapons owner. My initial reaction to any lawsuit or I'm sorry, incident like this is, you know, I just think professional athletes, surgeons, doctors, you know, politicians all should be held to the same standard. And so that was my first thought. And I got some good insight, I thought, from Wade Fink. He's an attorney. He's a Lions fan. He joined a podcast, and I regret not telling you which podcast it is, because I don't remember and I'm not able to look it up, but they were, you know, smart to get him on board as a defense attorney with opinions and experience in this area. And he, you know, maybe changed my perception a little bit on it by saying, if all the facts are as stated, which as a lawyer, you can't assume that, but if they are, yes, Jameson Williams was in the legal wrong. There's this incorrect opinion out there or, you know, presented as fact that his brother's CPL carried over to his. It's, you know, apparently, according to somebody that defends people in these instances, not true. So legally wrong. But what Wade presented and I thought was compelling is that, you know, officers overall are provided discretion, you know, to assess a situation and deem what merits you know, arrest or tickets or whatever, you know, mitigating circumstances, whatever. And his argument was that everything else being what it was, the right decision was to ultimately let him go. And that was what the officers decided. And so, you know, now the backlash because of the story is there's an internal investigation, the prosecution's involved. And so he says, because of this, often there's this outward pressure to act, and where, you know, that the non-action was probably correct. Again, if all things are as stated or appear that, you know, now they're compelled to potentially act, and that does nobody any good across society. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's like I said, it's, there's gray area here, but you're right. It's what I've kind of felt about this whole situation all along, is that all three of Jameson's notable transgressions, the gambling, the performance enhancing substance, this is just a lack of attention to detail to all of the restrictions on him, whether, you know, from the NFL or legally. And, he is higher profile, so these things do make headlines. They do get him suspended. This, hypothetically and unlikely, but hypothetically, if there's a charge and a plea or anything along those lines, like, could lead to another suspension. So that's why it's relevant. And, you know, at some level, I remind myself that this kid is 23 years old, and like, I probably wasn't making all the best decisions in my life at 23 years old.
I definitely wasn't.
You know, I also didn't have a city and a team counting on me, you know. So, but, you know, look, if you get pulled over, you feel free to, you mentioned that you, you're part of the Detroit Football Network podcast. And I'm pretty convinced you could probably get off on that speed.
Yeah. I'm hoping the next officer who pulls me over has actually the DFN Network podcast logo on the background of his phone, which, speaking of optics, wasn't the healthiest either.
No, that was like an SNL moment.
I did. When I was 23, by the way, I was still trying to drink my age and beers on my birthday. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of immaturity that goes
with
that.
Has it stopped, Will?
My last attempt was 25, and I fizzled out around 21, 22 watching a Rangers playoff hockey game, and I haven't attempted the endeavor since. But maybe when my son's old enough, when he turns 21, well, I'll see if I can summon my prime once more. I do want to add, just because I noted – his teammates and how they'll respond to this latest batch of news or misstep. Jared Goff, however you want to take it, was asked about it today, and he was asked, does he need to address JMO? Has he addressed him? And he said, nope, he's fine. And then he was asked, does JMO need to address the team? And Jared said, nope, we're good. And he simply added, when Jameson is back from his suspension, he'll be ready to go. So judging Jared Goff's response and body language today, he did not seem at all peeved by this latest batch of news. And again, I think JMO has endeared himself so deeply in that locker room that most of his teammates would react in kind. But they didn't miss him last week. They scored 52 points without him. Obviously a different challenge this week, and we'll get into it, facing the Packers. But they just want to know, you want to know as a teammate, that you can rely on the guy next to you to be on the field, health willing. And for six games now, and we'll see potentially more, that hasn't been the case because of JMO's, as you put it, lack of attention to detail, and a reminder that he is and remains 23 years old.
So the other thing I think we need to touch on here before we move on to the Packers is the lack of movement at the trade deadline, with the trade deadline fast approaching. And so we have seen other contenders, Kansas City, Buffalo, and most recently Minnesota, make moves of note. You know, Baltimore making moves that help their roster, that fill not just a depth void, but a starting void. And in particular, Minnesota, I think, is really relevant to this conversation, not because they're in the division, but because they lost one of their best players last week in Christian Darrisaw. You know, suffered a season-ending knee injury, and instead of standing pat, their GM moved quickly to get a very competent and capable starting offensive tackle, because they didn't want to have that void as they're, you know, gearing up to make whatever run they think they can make. And, you know, I think that really lines up here with the Lions, right? They they lost their star in Aiden Hutchinson, and, you know, and then some with Marcus Davenport, and everybody's just been waiting for Brad Holmes to pull the trigger. I would say, and maybe I still do, you know, I expect it, but what I've noticed on social media as these trades get announced, and, you know, sharing them as I do, there's a lot of people that are starting to get up in arms at Holmes. And it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know how it is with fan loyalty. You can go back. Yep. I mean, in Bob Quinn, we trust, right? Like they're all in on their guys. And Brad Holmes, we can, you know, just there's not much to me to be said. I mean, he merits all the trust he's earned with his drafting, with his free agency decisions, with the roster he's built. But, you know, I would say that whether it's just a vocal minority or whatever, the confidence is shaking a little bit right now as he hasn't made this move. And I'm just wondering from your perspective, you know, like how much does Holmes have to make a move, and does he have enough built up equity to roll the dice and not make one?
I think he has to make a move if this team wants to win the Super Bowl. And I think they should be honest with themselves about the last two teams they've played, especially most recently the Titans without Hutchinson. And they should assess the pass rush they generated, I think, more acutely against Minnesota, a team that is playoff bound, and realize that that's the kind of challenge, that's the kind of wall they would risk running into if they don't add another player on the edge. I mean, the pass rush against the Vikings was basically non-existent from the defensive end spot, and that was with Josh Pascal, who now is probably their most reliable defensive end, on top of, let's be honest, a pile of practice squad players. No disrespect meant to Muhammad and Thomas and Ukwe and others. But I wonder if Brad Holmes is just waiting this market out to see who becomes available after this weekend. I mean, there are still teams in Cincinnati and, dare I say, Cleveland, who could decide to sell depending on this weekend's results. And they have, obviously, the two biggest defensive ends of note who could potentially be available. I mean, leaving the Raiders out of this because their owner has been so strident and adamant about not trading Max Crosby. But it's not like defensive ends are flying off the board here and Brad Holmes is getting beat to the punch. I mean, the only one that has been moved, and it's an outside linebacker, was Josh Uche. I can't think of another one that the Lions may have targeted or may have fit them who has wound up elsewhere. Yeah, we've seen a receiver move in Hopkins, and as you referenced, an offensive tackle in Robinson, but Holmes isn't being beat to the punch on any of these guys. And in the meantime, their team still is 2-0. The other piece of this that I think is worth considering is that this to me doesn't feel like solely a Brad Holmes decision. This feels to me like a Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and even to a certain extent, an Aaron Glenn decision. And when they first lost Hutch, Dan Campbell said what gives him most hope moving forward, and you remember this, is Aaron Glenn, because of his ability to adjust his scheme and his plan to the personnel that he has. And I think they feel better now than they did a week ago after seeing what Al-Quadin Muhammad in particular did against the Titans. Again, I wouldn't take those numbers and that production at face value because I just think the Titans are a spiraling franchise. But I do wonder if the three of them together have so much faith in their coaching, in their internal development, and the players they've brought on board already, that they might proceed without bringing in a pass rusher of note. I think they make a move like the Vikings made and sacrifice, what was that, a fifth rounder, conditional fourth,
yep,
for Robinson. I think if and when they make a move, it's for a similar cost. And I think they should go back to Jacksonville and ask, as you have said, about Arik Armstead, who fills that Marcus Davenport type role pretty seamlessly from a physical standpoint. And I don't think he would cost more than a fourth or fifth round pick. So yes, I think they make a move, but I think they have so much faith in what they've already built here over two seasons that they're not panicking and they won't make a move for the sake of making one.
Yeah. And it's a really good point that, you know, they're maintaining, they're winning, that they can maybe wait for somebody to become available that we considered not available, right? And, you know, if they believe they have a shot at Trey Hendrickson, you know, why not wait that out? Because that's, you know, among the best case scenarios for this franchise, you know, outside of Myles Garrett, which still seems preposterous to even consider. Yeah. But I saw, I think it was a former GM on Kevin Clark's podcast. I said that, you know, he said, call Cleveland, Brad Holmes, and don't hang up. Just tell him Myles Garrett's mine. And you tell me what to write in the check.
Is that how, like, Trey talks?
I don't think so. Despite that coming from, I said, I believe a former GM. I do not believe that's how it works. Yeah. Also might explain why that's a former and not a current GM.
Yeah.
Look, it is no less fun today than last week or 2 weeks in the future to dream about what a Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson future look like. Obviously, like I would never tell a fan to stop dreaming about the biggest possible move, but realistically, I still think Za'Darius Smith is the right answer for this franchise, and, you know, probably not harmful that the other two teams mentioned in on those conversations, Kansas City and Baltimore, have, you know, been trading some picks already, leaving Holmes in a little better position to make that move. But I also agree. I just don't think you could go in with this group. I think the fact that Muhammad looked effective against Tennessee, and, you know, sample size, right? Always, but six pressures, did it in the way that they like with the pocket crushing. I think we're all under the assumption that Pascal will be back, whether it's this week or, you know, a couple weeks down the road. That gives you a little depth. And, you know, they did what I think we kind of talked about initially out of this, and Levi played a little bit more on the edge. Yeah. And I thought I had one of his better games against Tennessee. And so I still think that he is a potential solution. I think Pat O'Connor's looked pretty good in his first couple games and gives you a little bit more depth on the inside that gives you the flexibility to move Levi to the edge. So, I mean, they do have some patchwork pieces, but I still think, you know, it's not just, and I brought this up with Campbell today, it's not just pass rush. It's run defense too. Like, the run defense has really struggled with Hutchinson out there. I just did the math on it. It's the two highest rushing totals they've given up the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I know Titans had some garbage yards, but it's at 5.6 yards per carry too. Like, there's a lot of chunk gains. And if you look at them, it's on the edges where most of that damage is being done. And so, you know, we tend to believe, for good reason, given the foundation and the management here, that this thing is built to sustain a high level of success for a long time. But as a Bengals fan pointed out on Twitter the other day, we thought so too, right? Mm-hmm. And you just don't know how quickly the switch flips in the NFL. And so, you know, as much as this team's trying to build something that has a long-term window and is taking the right steps to do so, you can't sacrifice your opportunities. This is the number one seed today in the NFC. That bye matters. Home field advantage throughout the playoffs, as we learned last year, matters. And so I do think that Holmes shouldn't be pressured into making a move, but he owes it to this fan base, I think, to maximize what this season is, because it really does appear to be special.
Yeah, I would go a step further and say he owes it to this group of players. I mean, he's assembled a legitimate Super Bowl contending roster that has lost its best defensive player, and they remain among the favorites, but I wouldn't bet on them to win the big game without Hutchinson. I would if they could bring in someone remotely similar to the kind of player he is. And so I think he should look at this locker room and this coaching staff and realize that all of this work that they have put in over 3 years has a chance to be validated this year. And it might depend on him making a move. And Holmes cares so deeply for his players and his coaches on like an emotional level that I think that will play a role in his decision here too, ahead of next Tuesday and the deadline. Just knowing that I have an obligation, like almost a moral obligation to that locker room and this coaching staff to give them the best possible chance to succeed in January and ideally into February. I mean, like, Justin, do you think that they are still the one seed come the end of the year if they proceed with the roster they currently have?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
A lot of tough games coming up starting Sunday. And like, they're not playing Tennessee and they're not playing some of these lesser tier teams they've beaten.
Yeah. So we talked to one of those players that Dan Campbell has a moral obligation to. Will, you went heavy on that, and I appreciate it. We got a chance to chat with DJ Reader today. One of the best dudes in this locker room, and we went all over the place with it. And there might be a curse word in there, so if you got kids, put the earmuffs on. Coming out of the break,
by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't Will. Coming out of the break here, you will hear that conversation with Detroit Lions defensive tackle DJ Reed.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
All right, we're back from break, and we're going to hop right into that interview Will and I had with Detroit Lions defensive tackle DJ Reader.
All right, DJ, we saw the important tweet you put out post game. You were looking for some wings, and it seemed like the people came through.
They did.
Did you find a great wing this weekend?
I had a lot of options. You know, I flooded. I had Sweetwater Wing Fellas on there, but I decided to go with Selena's Bar and Grill, and they did not disappoint. I got the lemon pepper buffalo mixed with garlic. They're good. They're really good.
Would you say this is maybe the best side benefit of being a professional athlete, is you can ask for food recommendations and you know you're going to get flooded with them?
I know that I'm going to get, like, I'm not going to get a biased response of, like, one person. I know I'm going to get a bunch of
yeah.
Like, some people could put that tweet out and, like, their friends, whoever, just going to, I got a bunch of random people who are going to send in their option. And I'm like, I like this. I get to pick through, sit there, read through the comments, and really try to figure it out.
So how many wings are we knocking out after a win like that on Sunday? Is that like a solo effort? Or do you have your kids helping out, mom helping out? Is that a joint effort?
Everybody was there. So okay. We ordered, I think, 50. It was like 8 of us. You know, we got through them.
It is a family of athletes, so I know you guys build up a good appetite.
Yeah, my son, which is crazy. He doesn't really eat wings, so he enjoyed a chicken salad, which is kind of crazy. But that was really it. It was good. Everybody got in there. They got it in. My mom enjoyed him a lot.
Is that the same son who you told us had his shirt off in the front row of his first game at Ford Field, waving it around his head? Just what is his impression so far of watching Dad play at Ford Field in downtown Detroit?
Oh, he enjoyed it. The first couple games he was fun. Last game he wasn't as into it. He enjoyed the intros and stuff, but he was on his iPad. But usually he's pretty into it, man. He likes ball. He likes the entertaining part of it, and he just likes like being around the guys. He likes the guys. Guys are big and get to mess with them. So.
I feel like the way you talk to him, he's almost got like a Disney show set up waiting to go. Like he seems kind of like a character in general.
Oh, dude, he's hilarious. But, you know, he gets to live a lot freer than I did as a kid. And, you know, it's fun to watch. It's awesome to just watch him in his natural state.
You've been in Detroit for a while now. You know, this was a good fit for you schematically and all that. But how have you found yourself meshing with the city? I know we were out at your charity event. You know, how are you kind of fitting in with the city?
I've truly enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy the people. People are really nice. I think just the people in the Midwest in general, you know, their views and just how they, you know, go about life kind of align with how I live my life every day. And just a good group of working people. But the city's entertaining. It's a lot of love to be shown in the city. And I think that's been the real big positive, you know, with winning comes happiness. And, you know, the fans have been receptive to what we've been doing. And they've shown a lot of support.
You talked this offseason when you signed here about just being drawn to this team for what you saw on TV and how they always had a plan in place for every game. Just how has that idea of this team lived up to the reality of playing for them? What have you learned about this team being a member of it?
It's been better. Just guys are hungry. Mm-hmm. And then shoot, I mean, you see it. We got to play planned every damn game. Just about. It's just fun to watch that offense go. And then the guys competing on defense has been fun. You know, we don't come to the sideline pointing the fingers. Everybody kind of puts their arm around each other and we figure it out. Mm-hmm. So that's been awesome, you know, just be around a group of guys like that.
I feel like because you missed training camp, we didn't get a whole lot of one-on-ones with you. Have you got a chance to go against Frank in practice? Is the strength as legendary as they say?
I didn't get much of a chance to go. I played against Frank before, though, so I know he's just a good center, really good center, man. He's a super strong hand. And we've got to go down a couple good practice reps against each other. I think me and Frank are both older, though, you know. So we go against each other. Even pregame, we go against each other. It's a little bit just to get us ready. We're not out there. Neither one of us trying to dog each other. So it's been fun, man. But, you know, he's just a great player who I got a tremendous amount of respect for. And I know I try to spend most of my pregame hyping him up, him and Graham. I try to tell him, like, you know, those are my two favorite players. I like watching that left guard and that center for Detroit Lions, man.
Hey, when was the last time you punt blocked on a punt return touchdown as you would have leaned it at the end of last week's game?
It's been a minute, but it was kind of funny. It was pretty. Who is this? Oh, it was pretty funny though. It's just hey. It ended up working, and luckily he made it because I wasn't doing the best job of blocking it.
I was going to say there's a picture of you two, and him. He's pointing at you. So what's going on here? What are you guys communicating to each other as Khalif is in the end zone?
I don't really chase the punt safe. I can't catch anybody to block me. So I do a good job of holding up at the beginning. I'm trying to jog off the field. I turn around. I see the Leaf is making it. I'm like, oh. I see the punter. I see Lean not looking at the punter. I yell at Lean, yo, get him. Lean gets him. He makes him go under. Leaf outruns him. Yeah. This is just being happy that we were noticed and we didn't get tackled by the punter.
Yeah. So you were just directing traffic.
Hey, it would have been all bad if the punter got the tackle.
Salim looks spent, though, because a second later, he's down like this, hands on.
He had to chase him at the end. He made him go under. I was already tired from the play. I got the hold up. I'm getting off the ground. I'm like, oh, God. And then I see him running. I'm like, oh, man, it's rough.
Were you out there on the next defensive series? They give you a breather after that?
I think I got a breather after that one. That was crazy.
Hey, one of the things I found interesting since you've been here, the way the young guys talk about you, whether it's Wingo, Chris Smith, certainly Broderick, you know, just the amount of investment you put into watching their film, into watching their reps, and to get do you find that you almost spend more time watching your guys' film as much as you watch your own because you're confident in your skill set and you feel like you could, you know, what is it about what you feel you can offer them?
Oh, hell no. I watch a lot of myself. I'm more conceited in that way. I think I'm just one of those people that can, you know, process. I'm a very, very big consumer. Whatever that's TV, information given, anything like that, I've always been able to process information pretty fast. So I just do a good job just watching everybody who's out there. You know, anything I can help them and say it, I'm probably not going to say anything I feel like is going to hurt you. So if I can help, then I'll say it. And if you can take it and make it better, then yeah. If not, then fuck it. Like, you don't need it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it doesn't work, then it just doesn't work. But I think the game's all about confidence, though. I think, you know, the way I was raised, my parents instilled a lot of confidence in me just as a person. And I think that's important to the football player. All of us got ability. We made it to this level for a reason. And we're not always going to do it right. But having somebody who's behind you, who's confident, who believes in you, I think it helps you start to get it right.
Do you see yourself coaching down the line? I know you're still thick in your prime here, but like way down the line, do you see yourself getting into coaching?
Yeah, I just don't know what level. Honestly, college level is hard. You don't get any time with your family. So I'm excited when I'm done to go coach this boy, you know, and then maybe see what happens from there.
Yeah, is he playing yet? Any kind
he's of playing. Ball? We're playing flag football. We just got our first, like, the other day we threw the ball for like 40 minutes. That was the first time we've shown much interest in throwing the ball. We play T-ball, starting taekwondo and stuff. So just into it, just into sports, man. He's active. Kid's always moving around.
How do you grade his athleticism?
He's pretty athletic. He's pretty athletic. He's not the fastest, I would say. I've never really seen him open up a run. He can run. I've never seen him, like, get to going. Form's decent, but he's strong as hell, really flexible. He'll be a little bit more leaner body than I am. Probably like more of an N type. Like, he's already got like abs and shit.
Lucky. When's the last time you had abs?
Never. I've been working my whole life. And he's just walking out the other day and looks at somebody and goes, "Dad, I got lines in my stomach." I was like, "Yeah, bro, this must be nice."
So what's next on the food checklist in Detroit? What have you hit that's been, you know, rattle around the brain?
There's a lot of places, dude. I just haven't been out as much. Spent so much time like trying to get back rehabbing, so I was eating really, really healthy. I haven't gotten to indulge as much as I should. I think, you know, they got some good food, though. There's a lot of good places. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's been even popping in, like, random little bars and, like, just getting some food. It's really, really good. So I think I went to this bar, District 78, the other day. That food was good. Went to Floods, got some food later on in the night, one night. It was good. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a specific spot, but I will say Detroit is not short on good food. We got some really good food around here.
Have you got the pizza yet?
I have gotten the pizza, but I've only gotten it from I've only gotten it from Jets. Jets. Yeah. See?
I like Jets pizza though.
So I'm trying to figure out where's the place to go to get Detroit style.
I bet you put that out on Twitter. There'll be some opinions.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with pizza next week, so I'm not gonna do pizza this week. So I can find something this week to eat, and next week I'll figure out a pizza place.
One football question. You mentioned that you love watching your own tape. When you look back on last week's game, what was your favorite play you made and maybe the least favorite play that you had?
Oh, the favorite play is probably the stretch on the cut block.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, coming off surgery, you want to know if you still got it. That was one of those plays where I was like, oh, shit. Hell yeah, dude. I was like, yeah. And then on film, it did not look as graceful as I thought. I felt like a little ballerina out there. It felt good, but that was probably my favorite play. And you said the worst one?
Yeah, I mean, just one that you want back. Is there one that stands out? You're probably your own.
Yes, there is one. I had the guard beat on a pass rush, and my dumb ass decided to go for a hump move. For what reason, I don't know. And then I just got stuck on him and looked stupid. Luckily, it was a pretty tough play. It threw a goal ball. We got bombed on it. Made a play at the end of the play, but you know what? Took the eyes off me for making that shitty rush. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of one of those things where I was like, nobody's going to be thinking about that. We're thinking about the pass. We end up getting the stop. It was all right.
You take on all the doubles. I mean, do you take joy in Aleem and Levi having some of the success?
I love watching other guys have success. See, I'm like, no, I made money in this league. I play good ball. Nobody's going to, you know. Like that quote that's pinned on my Twitter, like, nobody's ever going to, like, change the picture that I see in the mirror. Like, I'm very confident in who I am, and I know how the game goes. Those guys out there making plays, I'm excited. I'm excited for all my teammates making plays.
When did you become the guy who would occupy so many of those double teams? Because you have to earn that respect, right, to draw that attention. Has that always been you in the NFL?
I think just the nature, one of the position, I think, as you start to play, like, good ball, you know, you got a lot of those stretch plays were big in the league, crunching those things when I first got in, and you taking on the single blocking, you killing it, and eventually you're not gonna get that single anymore, whether it's pass, run, anything. So I mean,
you miss those days?
Nah, man, the game's fun. Those days feel almost disrespectful. I think it happened one time in the Cowboys game this year, and I looked at Zach Martin after the play. I was like, single block front side, Zach? No way. He just started smiling and laughing. So those days are over. But that's the fun part about the game. The game, I think that's what I enjoy so much about football. Like, it doesn't get easier. It gets tougher and tougher. You get older, they figure out more. There's more of a challenge, but I enjoy that part so much more about it. It's like pitching in baseball, especially on double teams. Like, all right, if I play it this way, can I get it? What up? If I play it this way, can I get off? If I do this, can I get off? So, you know, just working different things as you see and just trying to take chinks out of that armor.
I know guys think differently about PFF and all that, but I don't think they liked Zach Martin's game that way, so maybe they should have doubled you.
Dude, I was really rocking with PFF until I got that 36 in Minnesota. I was like, I didn't think I played that bad. Now 36 is crazy.
Yeah.
30,
yeah.
Come on.
That's like your mom has to sign that. You know, when you bring that home from school, your mom has to put her signature on that.
Hit that game. Three pressures.
Yeah.
36 is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's my guy, man. Chris Collinsworth wasn't fooling with me that day. I was like, 36, and it hurt my heart. I sent it to my boy. He started laughing. I was like, come on, man.
Like you said, you already made your money. You know what you see in the mirror.
Yeah, I'm back. I mean, it took my grade all the way down to a 60. So I'm back up to a 70 now, though. So I must have had a good game last week. I didn't check the grade.
You track it, though, a little bit? Like, you look at it?
I literally only track it because I know, like, people upstairs track it or fans track it. Yeah. So I just want to be able to, like, if I got a decent grade,
right,
I'm like, all right, fans aren't talking shit. Upstairs aren't talking shit. It's like, if it's not, it's like, yeah, I mean, if 36, you give them a little reason.
And that was DJ Reader, Chicken King connoisseur, ready to advance his Detroit pizza taste beyond Jets.
Yeah, and I meant to ask him about the still unscheduled baseball clash between he and Aleem McNeil, because DJ Reader being a former Clemson baseball player and Aleem McNeil being a former North Carolina high school baseball star, are destined to have a showdown. Aleem is convinced he could take Reader deep. Reader is convinced he could strike McNeil out. So maybe that's an off-season clash that we can schedule. But we can get McNeil's take on it maybe next week.
Sounds like a spring training. Don't risk injury before the Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
Conversation. All right, we're gonna be right back after break, and we will talk about this as our good friend Wojo would say, big game coming up with the Green Bay Packers. This is the Detroit Football Network podcast.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And we're back. I'm Justin Rogers, Will Birchfield. Will, this is,
what's up?
It feels like a replay of 2 weeks ago where we were talking about how big this game was against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, Lions checked that box. They pummeled the poor Titans last week. And here we are again, another massive contest at the top of the NFC North and really at the top of the NFC for, you know, playoff, early playoff positioning, jostling, all that. This is a good one. And once again, the Lions are going to have to get done on the road.
Yeah, I mean, these are the games that you live for as a player, as a coach. Dan Campbell basically cut a TV promo for it during his weekly radio interview on Tuesday when he was asked what his message is to his team. And obviously he referenced the Bill Parcells line about shoes, make sure you have the right footwear. But then he went into man, Lambeau, it's grass, 3:25 Central, nationally televised game. What more do I need to say? Doesn't get any better than that. And
then he ripped his shirt off.
Yeah, and then chugged a Monster Energy drink right down the hatch. Lambeau does just lend a certain gravity to games, and this one feels like it fits that bill.
I love going to Lambeau. I could do without it being in Green Bay. It's like watching a football game in Livonia. It's just it's the weirdest place on the NFL schedule for sure. But you know, look, the Packers are 6-2, and I think a very, very legitimate 6-2. There's nothing fluky about it. You know, you talk about overcoming injuries and the importance of that in NFL schedule. They've overcome an injury to their quarterback, you know, having to start Malik Willis two games, which I think, you know, there were pretty low expectations attached to that. And Willis has been an absolute stud when he has to step in. He won both his starts and then steps in this last game and completes a 52-yard, 51-yard bomb to get them in position for a game-winning kick. And we don't know this week. You know, the Packers injury report was as lengthy, if not more lengthy, than the Lions here on Wednesday. But Love was not practicing, and so this might be the revenge of the Senior Bowl with Malik Willis. And I'm fascinated to see it. You know, I liked Malik coming out. I knew he needed some development, but just speaks to the coach LaFleur is. I mean, you know, this whole division, we've talked about it, just loaded with really good coaches. Maybe Eberflus is you know, bringing up the rear there, but you know, Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell and LaFleur are all excellent, and Malik Willis is, you know, something I would put at the very top of my resume if I'm the Packers coach.
Yeah, definitely. And an update that I just saw about 20 minutes ago on Jordan Love, he said it's, quote, realistic for him to suit up on Sunday. So we'll see what that means come tomorrow. That's probably going to be an outdated update in about 15 minutes, maybe an hour when more news breaks, but certainly a chance he plays. I think Willis's success is also a tribute to just the number of pass catchers that team has. I mean, Dan said it today, they basically have six receivers, and you can go down the line and everyone from like Jaden Reed to Romeo Doubs to Dontavian Wicks to Christian Watson, others that I'm missing are a threat on any given play. And I'm pretty fascinated to see how their this mass of pass catching options matches up with a Lions secondary that's playing really, really well. And obviously the focus goes to that great safety tandem. But those corners, man, are beginning to play like I think the Lions thought they would when they assembled this defense in the offseason. Carlton Davis has been really steady from the beginning. I know early on he was yielding a lot of yards. He also was and remains defending a lot of passes. And we're seeing Terrion Arnold come into himself as a rookie and just understand his role on the defense. I thought what Deshaun Townsend told us today was pretty interesting, that Terrion has begun to learn that not every pass is going to be perfect when you're in coverage. And so you don't need to get handsy on every route. You just have to use your eyes. And if you do locate the ball, then you can get physical and maybe then you run the risk of incurring a foul. But don't assume that every ball coming your way is going to be on the receiver, locate it, and then adjust accordingly. I think he's begun to do a better job of that. And Amik Robertson, man, I mean, he last week was a classic Amik Robertson game. He was kind of angry at himself for not having an interception yet. So he kind of takes matters literally into his own hands and knocks out two fumbles. And he's a great quote. He's a great guy to talk to. I think as I wrote last week, you know, he's the kind of guy who could recharge the Energizer Bunny. Like he gives Red Bull wings, not the other way around. And when I was talking to him last week, I just asked him, you know, do you see any of yourself in your coordinator, Aaron Glenn, who was in his own day, a 5'9" feisty Pro Bowl cornerback? And, Amik kind of smiled and said, yeah, man, it's that short man syndrome. So, you know, people think we're small, but we play big. We're aggressive guys. And I thought that showed up in a big way last week. And I think we'll continue to see it. But I just think that trio has really found its stride in concert with Kirby and Branch, obviously, in the back end.
Well, Robertson's going to have his hands full this week, and I'll be honest, I don't have a time to watch a lot of college football, so I, you know, didn't see a whole lot of Jaden Reed in college, whether it was Western or Michigan State, but how much of what he's doing at this level, because I feel like he's really developed into maybe the best, one of the best slot receivers in the league. I don't really consider Amon-Ra just a slot guy anymore, but Reed is mostly a slot guy, but he has been extraordinarily productive. And clearly the Packers' best weapon, in my opinion.
Yeah. You mean slot merchant, right? Not
slot merchant.
Yeah. You know what what's impressed me about the Packers, and I probably underestimated it entering the year, is that Josh Jacobs has elevated their running game. And I was skeptical of that, just given the way he finished in Vegas. And I think he had a career low last year in yards per carry and just didn't seem to have the same burst that he did the year before. But man, he runs so hard. He also runs a lot. I mean, he is tied with Derrick Henry for the most rush attempts in the NFL through eight games. They're both averaging close to 20 runs a game. Not just that, though. He's second only to Derrick Henry in yards after contact. He runs as physically and as determined, very David Montgomery-esque as any running back in the NFL. And as we just hit on, this run defense has been gashed a bit on the edges since losing Hutch, and they're going to have to really corral Jacobs and come with your chin strap buckled to take him down on Sunday. He really has impressed me through his first eight games with Green Bay.
Just another guy that had his will to play sucked by New England Patriots former coordinator Josh McDaniels. Yeah. Just killed Josh Jacobs' will to live. It was a very risky move on their part. Really, their biggest change offensively this offseason was going from Aaron Jones, who, admittedly had a down year last year. I understand why they moved on. Running backs after 30 years old, the tires often come off. And I don't think it was the wrong decision to move on from Aaron Jones, although he's been pretty good for Minnesota this year. But to bet on Jacobs, who's 26, with a pretty lucrative deal, and I'd have to look at the guarantees, but I know the surface numbers are 4 for 48. You know, they paid
12
a lot.
And a half guaranteed. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's well. And so that's actually far less of a risk than what you'd think, but has delivered in every way, right? 4.6 yards per carry. He's among the league leaders in yards from scrimmage. He's getting into the end zone. He's, you know, taken weight off of, you know, as good as Jordan Love has been, and I think he's really exceeded expectations, and Malik Willis for that matter, having a really good north-south running game really takes a lot of that pressure off of a mm-hmm. young quarterback. And so their offense is good. I think they're ahead of the Lions in terms of yardage, but as running backs coach Scotty Montgomery pointed out, they couldn't really gain a whole lot of yardage last week. Taking them all over.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Khalif.
Yeah. But 27 points per game. So it's a good offense. And what the Packers have really done this year is they're complementing it with an upgraded defense. And so fired their defensive coordinator end of last season, went out and got some guy. I don't know what school was he from?
Hey, we upgraded, bro. We upgraded, man. We got the great Bill O'Brien in there. We were done with Jeff Hafley at Boston College.
How did you feel the day that news came out, though?
No, which way? As with most things, Boston College football, just felt nothing inside.
Great. You were Josh Jacobs in his final days under Josh McDaniel. Yeah, got
exactly.
It. But Hafley has done a great job with their defense. And what he's done, first and foremost, for people that aren't aware, the Packers played a 3-4. They switched to a 4-3. It's an attacking 4-3. You know, certainly as a Lions fan, experienced those types of defenses here. They've got some great players up front in Gary and I don't know why the defensive tackle's name is escaping me at the moment.
Oh, Kenny Clark.
Thank you, Kenny Clark. Excellent, excellent players. And, you know, I looked at their PFF numbers. They weren't particularly good. I'm not watching. But what I do see overall is the pressures are about the same. The sacks, mm-hmm. the sack rate is about the same. And they're blitzing 20% of the time versus 30% of the time last year. So what does that mean? Means you could drop more guys into coverage.
Yep.
You upgraded your safeties there. Your other big ticket free agency item was Xavier McKinney from the, I think they gave him 4 and 67, probably 12 guaranteed along the other one. But leading the NFL, I mean, we've seen Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch racking up the interceptions. Well, McKinney has more. He has 6. Yep. And the Packers in 8 games, I think they've not had their bye yet, in 8 games, have more turnovers this season with their current defensive scheme than they had all of 2023. And I think that is really the stat that's fueling them and the stat that's going to test the Lions, who have been very, very ball secure here during their, you know, recent run since Tampa.
Yeah. I was talking with Kirby just about the emergence, obviously, of he and Branch as a tandem, but then, you know, who else he would consider among that class of top tier safety duos in the NFL. And he pointed to 2 and Jesse Bates and now the Falcons other safety is escaping Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons in Atlanta. And obviously McKinney and Evan Williams in Green Bay. He just said those guys are all over the field playing at a really high level. But I think what's worth noting is that Jared Goff, really since week 3, second half, just hasn't given defensive backs many opportunities to intercept him. He has played such sound, smart football that he isn't jamming a lot of balls. This is where Amon Ross St. Brown would say pause. He isn't forcing a lot of throws into windows that aren't there. And when he is and when he has to, he's delivering the ball accurately. And I think the way that he's playing and the way that he's trusting the checkdowns when he needs them will eliminate maybe some of the takeaway impact that McKinney and Williams have had together. By the way, shout out Kenny Clark, who has had just an incredible career in Green Bay. He's been there for so long that he was teammates with Mike Daniels when he played for the Packers, and Mike Daniels then went on to obviously Detroit and Cincinnati and has been out of the league for I think 3 or 4 years now, and Kenny Clark just keeps on keeping on. I remember he hit Stafford so hard on a scramble to the end zone at a game at Ford Field, I want to say in like 2018-19, that Stafford was feeling the effects of it for like 2 more months after the fact. But he is a problem in the middle, and one that Ragnow and Graham and Zeitler will have to be at their best to counter on Sunday.
2 years from now, the Green Bay Football Network podcast will be talking about Aleem McNeil. He played with Michael Brockers.
Just one more thing while we're referencing some of the offensive line play. Was there any more Lions touchdown run than Montgomery's rush last week? I mean, from, you know, they're 7 yards out, and you got Sewell, who picks up Simmons and drives him 7 yards into the end zone. You've got Ragnow, who completely nullifies Tavondre Sweat to the point that it looked like Sweat wanted nothing to do with him. You had Zeitler come in through the hole and pick up a linebacker. And then you had Montgomery shed one tackle. I think it was Harold Landry.
Just ran right through Harold Landry.
And then run through basically two more defensive backs at the goal line. And it was just like, that is a snapshot of Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions football. It was mauling, and it was insistent, relentless. And I think they'll have to play in a similar fashion on Sunday to have success against a really stout Packers defense.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably concerns me most, it's not Goff putting the ball in danger as a passer. I think he's, I mean, certainly any quarterback could make a mistake in any game, right? But I mean, he's really cut that part of his game out. The turnover worthy throws, if you will, are just almost non-existent right now. He's just being so smart with the football, and doesn't need my praise for it. He got Bill Belichick's praise for it this week, right? Like that tells you all you need to know, that Belichick's marveling.
He's listening.
How well.
He wants your praise on this podcast. We know you're out there, Jared.
It's going to get sent to him for sure. But where he has been a little shaky in the last few weeks and completely gotten away with it is he's fumbled like 3, 4, maybe 5 times in the pocket when getting hit. And look, the pass protection against the Titans was not great. You know, Decker gave up a sack. Glasgow gave up a sack that Decker got blamed for. Jahmyr Gibbs gave up a sack that Decker got blamed for. Decker took a lot of blame this week, but certainly got beat pretty badly for the first. And it was four sacks.
Yeah,
you're now facing another defense that will push. You know, I mean, just right off, they're going to try to knife in to the backfield and disrupt the pocket, and can and will and do. And you know what? You saw it last Thanksgiving where the Lions, I don't think, you know, just talking to some of those players the days after that game, they were not ready for the intensity the Packers came into that matchup, and they got their asses whooped up front. I mean, just straight up whooped up front. And just talking to some of the linemen, they just didn't anticipate that level of intensity from Clark and Gary, and they will be ready this time. I fully believe that, but you do have some things to clean up after that last performance. And, if that pressure gets there at the right time, it might not matter if Jared Goff's making the right throw. If if the arm motion is affected, it causes errant throws. And unlike the Titans, who can't force anybody to turn the ball over, Packers have 19. I think the Packers to Titans is 19-3. And so this is opportunistic defense, much like the Lions defense is opportunistic. And I think it was really telling because Campbell has these prophetic little statements that he drops early in weeks often. And he, you know, certainly dropped the mic with one today and saying like, this game will come down to who makes that one critical error late in the game. And you know, like, that makes sense. This is the number one and number two takeaway teams in football. And so delivering some profound statement analysis here that turnovers will be the difference, but turnovers very likely will be the difference in this game.
Yeah. Well, and to your point about last year's game against the Packers on Thanksgiving, that resulted in a 3-turnover game for Goff, and they were all fumbles. And there was a couple plays, I think, where he tried to escape pressure and he left the pocket, and that's when he is most vulnerable. I think he was stripped from behind one time.
It's like wounded deer.
He was doing the baby giraffe wounded deer. There was another, I think, where he had blindside pressure and put the ball on the ground. And I think that was in the middle of a spate of turnovers for Goff and like midway through last season, but that was the most glaring game. And Fumbles have always been a little bit of a problem for him going back to his Rams days. Obviously, it's those tiny hands, right? But now it's going to get sent to him.
Will,
now it's listening. Going to him. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jared. I have small hands too. I totally get it. I'm just showing solidarity. I do think it's worth monitoring Sunday. And by the way, the Vikings are tied for second with the Lions in takeaways, and the Bears are right there. I think tied for third. So this division as a whole is playing opportunistic defense, and it's the reason that they've had so much collective success to begin the year.
All right, let's bring this home with some predictions. And I just looked up at the line while you were talking, and surprised to see what it is. It's currently Lions are given 3.5 on the road. Maybe it's the quarterback situation playing into it. Do you think the Lions can win this game by more than a field goal, Will?
Man, I've been picking the Lions every week since the opener, and we did not do a podcast that week. So I've been exclusively picking the Lions on this esteemed program. But I'm going to pivot this week. I think the Packers cover that spread. I would not be shocked to see Green Bay win on Sunday. I think the force, the violence, the power they play with up front on defense will pose some problems for the Lions, despite how strong that offensive line is. And again, I think a turnover or two on the Lions end swings this game in the Packers' favor. I'm not picking the Packers to win, but I think I'm going full Stoney here. You know what? No, I'm picking the Packers to win and cover. I think Green Bay gets this one at home before they meet again in Detroit.
Oh, you're really going to ratchet up the pressure on Holmes to trade for an edge rusher then. I think we're very much looking at a Minnesota-esque game, right? You know, that was, despite the Lions being in control through a stretch there, could not put it away. It was a highly competitive battle, 2-point win. I think the Packers cover. I think the Lions will win, but it's going to be a score that is a field goal either way. I really believe that.
Yeah, well, and when Jake Bates kicks the game-winning 64-yard field goal as time expires, you and I can interview him next week on this podcast. I think he might be next in line.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do some research there. He's a little bit of a cliche machine, but we've seen the dancing. We know there's some personality there.
Yeah, he did win the Foaling contest.
Yeah. All right, before we check out here, this episode was produced by Zach Clark. The podcast available in all the standard places. The Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, please set it to download, rate it, listen to it. Listen to it. It's probably the most important thing. We'd like you to listen to it. You know, hit the forums up on the Detroit Football Network. Let us know if there are any player interviews you'd like. We're a little handcuffed on who's available on Wednesday, but we'll try. We'll always try. Mm-hmm. You can follow my work at the Detroit Football Network, DetroitFootball.net, and Will's work over at 971theticket.com. For Will Birchfield, I'm Justin Rogers. Thank you for listening.
We out.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.